Well, thanks, Josh, for even being here today. Yeah, it's a good thing to wear a Hope Church shirt in case you're wounded. Somebody will have compassion on you. So chapter 10, chapter 11, just after today, two more Sundays in Ecclesiastes. Don't shout amen. And then we're going to start a series called Turning Your Frown Upside Down. We've had enough of Solomon. I mean, hopefully we've learned something. But we're going to do a whole new summer series like, okay, oh my, okay. So Turn Your Frown Upside Down is coming up in a couple of weeks. But here's something I love about Ecclesiastes today. Solomon's been talking about all these things, and all of a sudden he goes to the invisible. What's inside of him? Really, what's inside of you, what's inside of me? So I'm very excited. It's this point where he turns and begins to reflect upon himself. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, it says this, "As dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. A wise person chooses the right road, and a fool takes the wrong road." Okay, dead flies in a bottle of perfume. That's interesting. It would be more like, I don't know if you can finish this sentence. Ready? If you can just kind of go, okay, what comes to your mind? One bad apple, don't. Did any of you teenagers get that? One bad apple, don't spoil the whole bunch of girls. Do any of you know what that's from? Okay, do you have that? We can just kind of take a moment here.
One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. Oh, give it one more try before you give up on love.
Yeah, there you go. Man, we got a bunch of old people in here. Hey, you need to dance like that, though. I mean, I think that's where Michael Jackson got his start. Who knows who that was? Oh my goodness, we're all in for it. So the reality of what he's trying to say, since still our teenagers are going, what is this? The bad perfume happens because of a bad influence. One bad act can ruin so much good. And you might remember how Solomon started. I believe that Ecclesiastes is one of the saddest books in the entire Bible. But Solomon didn't start there. We don't have time to read it all, but there's such a beautiful prayer that Solomon prays right before he starts his public ministry. He becomes the king, and he gets super serious about the things of God and his responsibility. I'm just going to share a little bit out of 1 Kings chapter 3. Listen to what he says. He's praying to God. He says, "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people and know the difference between right and wrong. Give me a heart that understands, and give me insight in life to know what is right and what is wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" And so there's more to this, but God answers his prayer, and I'm going to share just a little bit of that. God responds in this way, "I will give you what you have asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you didn't ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees." So God loved his prayer. "I will not only give you what you ask for, I will give you more than you ask for." And that's so much like our Lord. And then he says, "However, obey my decrees and my commands, as your father David did, and I will give you a long life." Starting well and finishing well are completely different. It's so easy to start. For Solomon, what a beautiful prayer. God answered his prayer. But then there's this, the meantime. If you've accepted Christ, and then there's this time in your life where you're going to have to grind. You're going to have to fight for what you believe. It's not going to be easy. And there's much to overcome before we get to the finish line. That's how it was yesterday. We started, we took this photo of us, life is good. 3 minutes in, and John Mars gets a flat tire. It's like, great, let me help him. Not that I didn't want to help him. But I didn't want an interruption in my life. I'm riding. Well, then we finally get that done. We're all smiling. And it was humbling. Some gal drives by. You guys need help? Of course we don't. And then we see Jessica going against the tide. Josh crashed. She's at the Circle K. Wait, what? We get to the Circle K, and there's Josh, like, bleeding all over himself. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that looks great. Okay, then we're good. Well, then Aaron, he stopped for a minute, and he stopped, and he stepped in fresh dog poo-poo. I mean, I don't even know how to say that in a Christian way. Dog droppings? I don't know what you say. Probably not what went through some of your minds. But hey, so then Aaron steps in that. And then we're riding a little bit more, and John gets another flat tire. Hey, this is how life goes. Some of you, I mean, you just feel like, man, my life's just crashing and burning. Some of you, I have to go get the truck because somebody's crashing and burning. Some of you are like, hey, got a flat tire. Some of you are like, yeah, it just feels like my whole life I'm stepping in this stuff and it's terrible. Well, I thought I kind of got off good. I'm like, okay, Lord. I mean, I appreciate Josh shared his faith. I mean, I was like, Lord, thank you, didn't use me. I mean, you know. So last night we're in Lowe's walking around having a good time. All of a sudden, there was an aircraft that went over. Big, flappy one. Yeah. Right on my shoulder. I look over, I'm like, yeah! And we're there with our grandson, so I spent about a half an hour just trying to get away from my own shoulder. And that's how you spend a great day, right there. Think about this. So many people start well. But friends, we don't want to just start well. You want to finish well. I read this week as I was studying for my message that only 30% of the leaders in Scripture, 30% finished well. 70% of the leaders in Scripture did not finish well. Think about that. Dr. Bobby Clinton, he's done a lot of work in the church and has done a lot of research, and he studied 3,500 leaders for Christ. Only one-third of them, so 70% of them, didn't finish well. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about church right here, right now. If only a third of us finish well, that would be this side of the room finishes well. The center section and the left don't. I said this side because my wife's on that side. I just couldn't be going the other direction here. I love what Solomon says. Just a couple of flies in a beautiful bottle of perfume ruins it. Solomon started in a spectacular fashion. And then he didn't finish well. My question as I read this week was, Solomon, what happened? What happened? What happened? And then what can we do to avoid that happening? And so we already know that Solomon has written this entire book and everything's meaningless. You know, everything's a chasing after the wind. Nothing matters. And then he says, can you look inside of me? Just a couple of flies spoiled a beautiful life. Something we can learn here. Let me explain to you what happened to Solomon. In 1 Kings, it says this, now Solomon loved many foreign women. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God. So Solomon started God only. And then Solomon lived God only and. That is where everybody gets in trouble. God only, I'm focused on God, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to love God, and, you know, it's not that bad. And it's just once. And, you know, it's not really hurting anybody. And it's going to ruin your life if your name is Solomon. It goes on in 1 Kings 1. Solomon not only but he acted upon it. Built shrines for all of his foreign wives to use for burning incense and sacrificing to their gods. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart turned away from the Lord. Solomon, remember that prayer? I need a heart for you. His heart turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods. But Solomon did not listen to the Lord's commands. Solomon forgot that there is right and wrong. If you and me want to not be in the 70% that crash and burns, we need to know what is right, and we need to know what is wrong. In other words, what is your worldview? What is your life based on? And so many times we say, my life is based on the Word of God. And as we go along in the Christian life, it's the Word of God and. I'm not that bad. And. Solomon loved God and then added what God will never love. Solomon was blessed by God and then allowed those blessings to become a curse in his life because he forgot about God. Wow. He lost his way, and we, for 10 weeks, have endured one of the saddest books of the entire Bible. I would encourage you, if you want to make it the long haul as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, at some point, you're going to have to grind through what is right and what is wrong. You're going to have to base your life view, your worldview on something. You can base it on what is popular. You can base it on some political preference. You can base it on all types of things. But I am going to camp on the Word of God as my foundation. That will not ever fail. But in order to say I stand for that, it doesn't mean that I stand against a bunch of things, but it means if our society is doing things that conflict with that, I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And it's hard. It means that no matter how much money I make, I'm going to tithe first, not later. It means that there are certain things that I'm going to not do because I know that God can never bless things that God doesn't agree with, no matter how much I try to convince him that this is a good idea. It goes on in Ecclesiastes 10. Says, fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. The Bible says what we sow, we will eventually reap. And Solomon started, so beautifully. He was so blessed. He was blessed with knowledge. He was blessed with wealth. He was blessed with popularity. Solomon had been given so much. And then just a teeny little twist turned into a little more of a twist and a little more of a twist and a little more of a twist. And all of a sudden, he even questions God. We have to know what is right and wrong. And then the second thing I think is very important, and Solomon kind of alludes to this, you have to be careful what you allow to influence you. You have to be careful what you subject yourself to because we are influenced by things. In Corinthians, it says this, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. You cannot pray a prayer like Solomon prayed, that heartfelt, sincere prayer, if you did not have good character. But because of bad company, his good character got corrupted. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say some of you don't know God at all. We have to be careful about what influences us. And it's been an interesting life so far to me. We had no social media when I was a kid. There were no video games, none of that cool stuff. And I'm not against any of that. However, let's just talk about social media for a second. All you need to do is Google the effects of social media. I read multiple resources this week and then something that Mayo Clinic put out. And it says one survey of nearly 750 13 to 17-year-olds found out that 45% are online almost constantly and 97% use a social media platform like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat. I'm not against that, just so I'm clear with our teenagers. But what we don't understand yet, and we're beginning to understand more, are the implications or the social and physical and psychological repercussions of social media. And let me just read this to you. Multiple studies have found a strong link between heavy social media and an increased risk for depression, anxiety, loneliness, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. Social media also prevents negative experiences about perceived reality that cause inadequacies in your life because of your appearance and everything else that you see that you kind of wish you had. I mean, I love the little posts that show this super cool thing on Pinterest and then reality, right? You know, everything on Pinterest, everything on social media, it's like so perfect, and then you try to do it and it doesn't work. And if you spend enough time on social media, here's what happens. You realize how inadequate you are. You realize that you don't really have what it takes. That's one influence. And I'm absolutely not against that. However, the point of what I'm trying to say here is that you need to know the difference between right and wrong, and then you need to guard. You need to guard the things that you let into your mind. And if you have friends who are constantly going the wrong direction, you will be affected by that. Proverbs says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I read three different scholars related to this, and in the Near East tradition, your heart was considered not just a physical muscle that pumps blood throughout your body, it was considered the seat of your intellect. Here the word heart means more than a mental and emotional capacity, it also encompasses our values. The heart in verse 23 is the wellspring of life. Heart here, as always, refers not to the physical organ, but to the mind and the whole personality of an individual. It is the wellspring of life in that the capacity to live with joy ultimately comes from within and not from our circumstances. In other words, when it says to guard your heart, because it determines who you're going to become, guard that which goes in. And the question that we have to ask, am I going to finish well? 70% of the people in the scripture didn't. And 3,500 Christian leaders, only 30% did. What makes me any different? What makes you any different? We have to understand there is a difference between right and wrong. And it's a grind. It's exhausting. But we either build our life on God's word or we build our life on God's word and. And is where Solomon, the smartest guy on the planet, crashed and burned. I mean, this is fascinating. Solomon says if you start with crazy ideas, you're going to get crazy results. And in the Bible, one of the social norms at one time was sacrificing children to the fire. One of the norms in the Bible was at the temple of the church, there were prostitutes. Jesus was so angry that they were trying to, and I'm glad that Pastor Zach said we make no money off our shirts, we lose money. He was so angry that people came into the temple to peddle their goods and to profit from it. Lord, we lose money on our stuff just so, you know, we're all, but just trying to keep it clean. You know, here's the thing. It's easy to start well. Man, I want to follow God my whole life. Really? It's been the hardest thing I've ever done. That's not totally true. I had fun when I lived in the world for this long, and then it was no longer fun. But it is not easy to serve the Lord. but it's worth it. 100%. 100%. 100%. I believe it's not complicated, but we have to understand there is right and wrong. We have to understand what we put in will eventually come out. We have to understand there's this part of us that we can't say we're okay when we do God and. Here's the last thought that I want to give you today, and that's this. You're going to mess up. So take another step. And keep moving ahead. Christianity is about, it's never about being perfect. It's about falling, getting up, and going again. It's about, oh, I wish I wouldn't have, and getting up and going again. You cannot give up. Yesterday, when John's tire went flat, I thought, maybe we should just be done. I'm good with that. Then when Josh crashed and burned, I thought, no one would think anything if I said I probably should ride to the hospital with him. Everybody needs a pastor at the hospital. And these thoughts went through my head. And I'm thinking, it's not a bad idea at all. Because it's from Fayetteville to here, it's uphill. And it was hot. And it's only the second time I've ridden my bike this year. And everything in me said, no, you can just go to the church. Hey, I helped Josh yesterday. I'm a great pastor. Have you not ever wanted to make an excuse for getting out of the race? Of course we have. And what I did yesterday, I just kept pedaling. And I made the mistake when those guys were way ahead. I thought, I'm good. I'm going to catch them. Like they're 45 minutes ahead of us. And so I used most of my energy in the next 2 minutes. And I still had like 30 miles left. I could see my heart rate. I'm like, yeah, 400 is probably not good. Bring it down. No, not quite. That's an exaggeration. But it was in the 165s, and that's pretty high for an old guy. According to my weight and my exercise level and all of those things that I read to make sure I don't keel over as I'm riding. But all I did was just, I said, I'm going to take one more step. And really, after we changed the first tire, I tried to clip back in and I almost clipped out. I mean, I almost went right through a fence. Not through it, but probably stuck in it. And John was like, whoa, that was close. I'm like, another reason I should quit. I'm old and feeble and my feet don't work. And then most of the way through, there's just pain. Pain. And this is how life is going to be. Life, and this, you've lived long enough, even our teenagers, it doesn't work as you want it to. It doesn't go as you want it to. Sometimes there's crashing and burning. Sometimes you're having to wait. You want to do something. You got to help somebody fix something. And then sometimes somebody really gets hurt, and you got to stop for a minute. And sometimes you just feel like your whole life you're stepping in droppings. And Aaron had to ride 20-some miles with a stinky foot. That's just how life is. And if I can tell you, you've got it, right and wrong, okay, perfect. You're like, I'm going to guard my heart, perfect. But you still have to take another step. That's what Paul writes, and we'll wrap things up. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. We were talking to the guys, and they're like, I just do this for exercise. Not me. I do it for one reason. Right there. That's the only reason I ride. Right there. I even handed this to Sharon yesterday, and I said, could you look at that and then tell me how proud you are of me? That's the honest truth. One reason right here, and I've got a bunch of these in my garage on the wall, and sometimes I just look at them. Paul's saying, take another step. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Now, listen to these couple of words. But we do it for an eternal prize. This is not our final resting place. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Paul is saying here, I know right and wrong. I'm disciplining myself to do what I know I ought to do. And he says, there's a reason why I'm doing this. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul started horribly and ended beautifully. What I want to encourage you today is to realize that Solomon started well, and then his blessings of life led him away from the Lord of blessing. His blessings in life led him away from the Lord of blessing. There is something called right, there is something called wrong, and I encourage you to base your life in this book. But you don't do that if you never read it. You don't do it if you never pray. You don't do it if you don't get surrounded by people who want to help lift you up. That's what I love about Hope Church. Yesterday we did the ride together. Changed tires together. Wish we could have eaten the donuts, but we didn't stop. I would have liked that. After we were past it, Aaron said, they had good sweets. I'm like, what? That's my fuel for life. But we did it together. Friends, I love every one of you. I really do. But just remember, there is a difference between right and wrong. There is a way that you can guard your heart and your mind by what you allow to come in. And then, no matter what happens, you got to take one more step towards eternity. No matter what happens, I don't care how many times you fall, I don't care what you have done, you can get back up and you can get right back on the track. God help each one of us. I love this, but it really is stupid. Even the colors and how they did it, I'm like, seriously? I mean, why can't we have like a javelin or a skull or something that looks tough? Nope, just cute flowers in a V-dub van, like Donny Osmond's song. Shirts are even worse. I shouldn't say that publicly, but it's true, they are. But the reality is none of it matters. What matters is you and me for eternity. You and me not tapping out, not burning out, not sinning out, but taking one step closer to our Savior every single day. Let's pray together. God, thank you for Solomon. I love and hate this book. I love it because he's so real, and I hate it because it's so real. Who am I to think that I can't fall away? Who are we to think that we would never do that? If Solomon can fall away, any of us can fall away. Lord, help us. Help us guard our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus. Give us the knowledge to know right and wrong, and then the tenacity to take one more step when we goof up. God, help us, I pray. We need help. Encourage us, Lord, with one another. May we be the person who lifts another one up. May we be the person who helps change the flat tire in life for one of our friends. God, I pray for each one today that you would bless them. Those at home, Lord, bless them, keep them. May your face radiate about them, Lord. Give them the peace and the joy that comes from living for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you today. You're dismissed.